Welcome to the Green Divas Radio Show. Host Green Diva Meg and co-host Green Diva Mizar share resources and ideas as they explore fun and low-stress ways to live a deeper shade of green. And now, your host, Green Diva Meg.
All right, welcome to the Green Divas Radio Show. You are on with Green Diva Meg.
And Green Diva Mizar.
And
Green Dude Eco Ed Schwartz.
And I think we have his mic turned on this week. I swear to God, I think the last time we had him in the studio, I was like, why can't I get his volume together? And we just turned on his microphone. Oh. I'm sorry, I'm laughing. I'm going to set myself into a coughing fit any
second. No. Which reminds me, I wanted to wish you, because last week on Thursday was your birthday.
Oh, yeah.
A big 5-0, and she was so sick, bringing 50 in. Yeah. The wrong way.
It was all phlegm. I was Flemish, as you said.
Just a little bit Flemish.
A little bit Flemish.
And remain so today. So if we lose Megan, you'll know why.
Yeah, I know, exactly. But thank God, you know, the two of you are here and you can carry on without me.
Okay.
If I start wheezing and coughing. We have an amazing show today.
Yeah, we do.
We've got Ed in the studio.
Great. Glad to be here.
He's
going to
be our Green Dude, and he's going to do another Green Dude segment, our sort of 201 on solar, because we did a 101 last time you were here.
Yep.
So we're just going to keep going in our little solar classroom. Green Diva correspondent Marie Wilson, beautiful actress and model from L.A., our friend Green Diva Marie. She's going to be calling, and we're going to dish green Oscars.
I know. I'm amazed, actually, that there were actually some sustainable and eco-friendly dresses going on there.
Yeah.
And that there were more other green elements to the Oscars.
Well,
you know?
I'm sure some of the swag in the background, you know, those swag bags they all get.
Oh, yeah.
Had some pretty cool eco-friendly
The losers get like a bazillion dollars worth of stuff in their swag bags,
I just want to go to get a swag bag.
Okay, I'll see if I can make that happen for you next year.
See, here we go. You can't make me laugh. I start hacking like a sick dog. And so then you're going to do a Green Diva Mizar DIY.
Yeah, I had fun last week. I mean, because we had it ready for last week, but it's for this week.
You really did a lot of work on this.
I had a lot of fun.
You had fun, didn't you?
I had fun, yeah. And I'll tell you this backstory behind that, too. So.
It's all about the key to being green.
The key to being green.
It's
you're correct.
Yeah. You figure out what that is, people, and, you know, you win something. Right?
I'll make one for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. If somebody tweets...
Yeah.
Between now and my DIY segment and tells us what it's about, then we'll send them a key.
I like that.
We'll send them the key to the keys to being green.
There you go. I like that.
See if it happens.
Tweet us at org green divas, ORG green divas with an S, and I'll be paying attention.
How about Facebook? Should they Facebook us too?
They can also check us. Wait, let's do our shameless plugging while we're at it, right?
Yeah.
Find us on Facebook, Green Divas Radio Show. Like us, because we like the love, and follow us, and then you'll get all the... Because I pretty much use primarily Facebook, and Twitter is attached to my Facebook, so anything I put on Twitter, Facebook goes on Twitter. But anyway, that's where we make most of our announcements.
Yes, always.
And then there's always the blog, but I don't keep up with that as much as I do on a moment-to-moment basis on Facebook. The blog is... thegreendivas.com.
Right. That's the website with a whole bunch of other information.
All kinds of fun.
Another shameless
while we're being shameless.
Because you've got a lot of attention with your podcast lately, too. There's been a lot of attention given on the internet.
I know. We like skyrocketed in our numbers for a couple of weeks, and it's been really fun. And then, of course, it got normal again. And I am not like the tech wizard that I'd like to be, and I can't figure out why.
Could somebody please tell us? Because the numbers went through the roof.
Yeah. I mean, it like more than tripled in 1 week's time.
Yeah.
So we are popular.
All right. So a reminder.
And it wasn't one podcast. It was across the whole spectrum of our 123. By the way, we have 123 podcasts. That's a lot of podcasts.
That is a lot of podcasts. And they're growing.
We got content.
So to all our listeners, go ahead and tell your friends.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, party. We're having fun. Now, drum roll, please. We finally, I'm so excited. We're going to... Mariel Hemingway, the beautiful, gorgeous Mariel Hemingway, is going to be on the show this afternoon. And she's got so much going on. You know, she's got this new business, The Willing Way, which involves a book and a website and a kind of a movement, really.
And kind
it's
of
a lifestyle.
And a very hunky coat. Hort.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you look at the Willingway, it almost looks like his name is Williams, I think his last name, and hers is Hemingway, so that's how they got the Willingway. I just got that. I'm slow. I'm sorry.
See, I have to take her side here because she is one of the most beautiful women.
She really is.
Truly
oh my God.
Beautiful inside
oh,
and
yeah.
out.
Oh, yeah.
I agree.
Exudes.
100%.
Yeah.
Have you met her?
I haven't had the opportunity yet, but
I have.
To be thrilled speaking with her today.
I have, and she is gracious. And she's tall, which, of course, is my envy. And she wears no makeup.
Yeah, don't
and
you hate
you
that?
And she just, she willows in.
Well,
oh, man, she's
I think
just
she's
amazing.
One of those genuine beauties that just yeah. really from the inside out.
Agreed.
And, so we're all in love with Mariel, and we're really excited. And she's very much an activist. She's been very active in California when they had Prop 37, trying to help get, you know, labels, GMOs on the labels. She's really been very vocal and activist about anti-GMO.
Yeah.
GMOs suck. So we'll probably mention that and talk to her about what's going on, because I think she's working on a new film with our friend Ed Brown.
Oh, really?
Is that his name, right? The guy who we had in here
yes.
from
oh, yes,
Unacceptable
he is.
Levels?
Yes, Unacceptable
that
Levels. That's
yeah.
correct.
So, and she also has a film that's just coming out. I don't think it's out yet, called Running from Crazy, which is about her family.
I know.
And it's, you know.
That's dysfunctional with a capital D, unfortunately.
Well, it's very sad.
Sad
is what it is.
It's very sad.
And very painful, because yeah. mental illness is something that, you know.
Well, you know, well, good for her, though, for destigmatizing it, if this is what her, one of her, I mean, I'm sure it's one of her goals.
Well, you know, I saw an interview with her on CNN talking about it.
Yeah.
And, of course, they really hammer away at certain things. And she was all about, look, this is what the Willing Way is all about. It's about changing your lifestyle and creating a healthy world for yourself so that, because I think so often a lot of these things, in depression in particular, can really be affected by our environment and how we take care of ourselves with food, with, you know, stress and all of it.
Right.
And she's taken so many strides to help us become more healthy in mind, body, and spirit. So it's a wonderful opportunity.
There's a really cute video on her website. And if you watch it, you just sit through the whole thing and go like, oh, my God. You know, they're climbing mountains. And,
oh, my
know,
gosh. Yeah. And yeah, with a rope yeah. and nothing else
yeah.
on a steep
yeah.
thing. And they're doing yoga poses that look like, well, frankly, pretzels. But it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
Pretty amazing. She lives in a beautiful place, too, so it's all gorgeous.
Yeah. So we'll be talking to Mariel a little later in the show. In the meantime, we just got, you know, fun stuff going on. We've been starting to get more and more fun products to review.
Mm-hmm.
And last time we had a show, we lost the first part of the show because it was Valentine's Day and Green Diva Jessie was having too much fun. Thank you, Silent Jessie. Anyway, and we talked about Bixby bars, remember, with Green Diva Sandy Holtzman from
yes,
New York?
Yes, from New York.
Since then, Bixby Bar has sent us Bixby bars.
Thank you, Sandy, and Bixby bars.
And we've been nibbling on them. And these people
Not yeah, nibbling. They're gone. Let's be honest,
Let's
Meg.
Be honest,
they're
on.
Gone.
I almost lost my finger reaching for one.
Really?
No. Yeah. As a matter of fact, you should be careful.
Well, I am such a fan, and look at all of these. They're all natural, gluten-free, no GMO, handmade, youth trade, dairy-free, vegan, verified. I mean,
And you know what? You think, oh, my gosh, what can they possibly put in there?
They're incredible.
They are incredible. I have to say, I thought it was all chocolate, but when I opened up the pistachio one.
Oh, yeah, that
one,
was like a white chocolate.
I can't resist anything with pistachio. And I'm you know how you have chocophiles, people who really know their chocolate. I'm a
yeah.
pistachiophile.
Oh, are you?
I just love my pistachio. In fact, if it's too green, I know they put a dye in there and it's gross because pistachios really aren't green. You know, that's part of the marketing thing. When you have pistachio ice cream or gelato, green is not the color it should be. You go to Italy, ain't no green in that pistachio. That having been said,
really?
No, yeah, that bright pistachio green,
really?
That's not the color of pistachios.
Well, that ain't right.
So anyway, that pistachio bar was to die for. To die for.
Really?
Yeah, you made me share it, and I was very upset.
I took a bite. I literally nibbled.
And I gave some to Green Diva Jamie as
now,
well.
Here's
I'm kidding.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Here's what I loved about them. I really loathe, generally speaking, fruit in my chocolate. It messes with my chocolate, right?
Mm.
And so I was like, oh, my God, every single one has fruit in it. And I got kind of like depressed because I was really but she has this fabulous combination in all of them in various ways, whether it's got a fruit, a nut, and a spice along with the chocolate, right?
Really good, yeah.
Well, my favorite one. Wait, where is my favorite one?
Which I didn't get a chance to taste.
I know,
because
that was gone.
Yeah.
That was the one with the organic milk chocolate, yeah, peanuts, dried Bing cherries, and chipotle pepper. Oh, man.
Come on.
Yeah, hello. And that, yeah, they're just fantastic combinations. And so Bixby Bars has converted me. I will now eat at least a Bixby Bar with fruit in it. Now, nobody else I don't think is going to happen, but...
No,
these people have, there's some formula she has with this, between the spice and the...
No, she did a good job because they really are quite good. The dark chocolate one that we had that has the, there was one with blueberries, which I liked.
See, I'm not a blueberry person generally.
Yeah, but you know what, though? It's not overwhelmingly blueberry-ish.
Okay, so I'll try it later.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think so.
No, there's one left.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there was two of those. Yes.
I got to tell you, if you're off, like, I was hiking in Hawaii a couple months ago, and it's amazing when you're off in the forest and you find things like fresh mangoes or guava or coconuts.
Yeah, that's
you just
so
pull
wild.
Them off the trees.
Yum.
Now, I just want to mention one other thing. Remember we got that box of Weleda products?
Yes.
Am I saying that correctly? You call them Weleda?
Weleda. I don't know. You're the ones who've been using them for such a long
Weleda.
Time.
Anyway, I'm still circling through and using some of them, and I know you have a couple.
I love the deodorant, but we'll talk more in depth about it later on. Because I was a little worried about that because of the way I use deodorant. But so far, so good.
Yeah, and I've been using the face stuff.
Yeah.
And I think I glow, don't I?
You do.
Well, but I am like the canary in a coal mine. If there's anything toxic or chemical, even a perfume, in a face product, my face immediately breaks out.
Really?
Look, no breaking out.
No, you're good.
I'm doing good.
You're good.
So the stuff is really clean and good, and my face is happy. See this? Smile? Happy.
Happy face.
Happy.
Rosy cheeks, happy face.
So
all good.
We're going to do a couple of posts coming up, and we'll include some of our favorite skincare, organic, healthy skincare products, whatever, and deodorant is going to be one of the posts.
Perfect.
We've got stuff coming up. I think Green Diva Marie is on the line.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Let's get Marie on the air. Marie.
Hi, ladies.
Hey.
Hi, Marie.
How are you?
Great.
Great.
Good.
So glad you could call.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited to talk about, you know, the Oscars and all the eco-friendly garments on the red carpet. It's so exciting to see.
It is. And frankly, I was surprised and pleasantly surprised because Oscar is usually about glitz and bing and over the top. And, yes, it was there as well. But I am so amazed and thrilled that some of them are taking this sort of conscientious look at how they're presenting themselves. I love that.
Love it.
I think it's great. I think you could still look beautiful and glamorous and still be, you know, conscious of the environment. And it all started actually back in 2009 when Colin Firth's wife, Lydia, she launched the Green Carpet Challenge. And ever since then, there have been more and more celebrities every year. And I was talking to a good friend of mine, Lawrence Zarian, who hosted the Oscars red carpet. And he's the style expert.
Oh, yeah. And, yeah. You got good friends out there.
He's very, very sweet. Anyway, he made me aware that Meryl Streep was wearing an eco-friendly gown last year.
All right.
At Anvin.
Wow.
So, yeah, she not only, you know, took away the Oscar last year, but she won over some eco-friendly people. So
wonderful. Marie, just to back up a second, for anybody who doesn't know, can you just briefly tell us what the Green Carpet Challenge is so that we have sort of a foundation?
It's just to encourage more celebrities to support recycled garments or reused items in their garments, things that are textiles are approved by the organic textile standards. And
It's become so chic now to be green. Like, you're almost like a turd if you don't have something green going on, right?
What did you say?
Well, you know what I mean. Like, I said turd. I'm sorry, Marie. But you know what I mean? Like, you got to have something green going on now or you're not, like, chic.
That's right.
Well, it's great. True. It's not only chic, it's great to be aware. And I think the industry is showing that people need to become aware and you know, help the environment. And, you know, what we put out, we, you know, it's a give and take kind of thing. So we just need to be a little more conscientious of that.
Well, you're helping being our Green Diva out in L.A. Yeah. Do you have any special projects you're into right now?
I am working on something initially, but I will fill you in next time we talk.
How's that? Good. Now, tell us, so who was it that we saw?
This year was Naomi Harris.
That was it, Naomi Harris.
She blew me away. I looked into her garment, and I was blown away by what was on it. There were embroidered chocolate candy wrapper embellishments on it.
Isn't that amazing?
It's amazing, because looking at her gown, I would never have guessed. It was just stunning, and she looks stunning in it.
Well, and I think it was also dyed, right, naturally?
Yes, it was dyed with goldenrod and chamomile seeds.
Isn't that amazing?
And she used recycled zippers and vintage glass beads, and this whole garment took 120 hours to make.
Oh, my.
And she looked elegant. It was beautiful.
Very well done.
It was a stunning dress, and it did not look like a hemp sack or anything like it.
No.
It didn't, which, you know, is so exciting to me that we can look great and be conscientious at the same time.
Well, this
you know?
Is what
so
Green
really
Divas
exciting.
Are all about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Who else out there had some eco-friendly stuff? I think Anne Hathaway had shoes that were...
Anne Hathaway had vegan shoes by Giuseppe
Vegan
Zanotti.
Shoes?
No
I
leather.
Know. Those were... They were stunning. They were beautiful. It's just so great to see that you can go vegan and have beautiful things at the same time.
Yeah. Uh-huh. We got to get a picture. We got to find a picture of it. I'm telling Jamie, our awesome producer here. Got to get pictures of the shoes. I need shoes.
They were beautiful. And Helen Hunt was also wearing an H&M dress. And H&M is also partners with Global Green, which sustains, you know, a green kind of way of living. So there were lots more and more celebrities every year.
You know, Marie, every time there's a cause out there, I'm going to pick an obvious one like AIDS, because that's one that celebrities really latched onto. And it seems that if we can get celebrities to latch onto this green, sustainable, eco-friendly movement, that everybody is, or not everybody, but majority of folks will really get it. Because we're still on a curve here. We're still on a learning curve, I think. And if we could just get one sexy person. I mean, we know Leonardo DiCaprio is living green, and
he's
also
sexy.
Ed Begley. Well, yeah, he could
There's
be,
many,
I guess.
There's many celebrities. Celebrities are actually very fortunate to be in the limelight and in the public eye, and it's such a great opportunity for them to be able to make more people aware.
Well, you mentioned Global Green, and I think Brad Pitt is one of their big spokespeople.
Which is exciting.
I mean, come on, that's sexy.
I'd go for it.
I'd go green for Brad.
Hold on. Ed, do you want to weigh in on this?
That might be the new logo.
I'm still back to Naomi Harris. I can't pull it on this one with you.
She was stunning. She was stunning. Yeah.
But wait a minute. But Brad Pitt's going to marry Angelina Jolie. You can do that, can't you?
You know, actually, it's amazing when I look at people like the celebrities that adopt a sustainable life and help others. It's wonderful to see their influence and taking their image and the reach that they have and using
their platform for good.
We really need more of it. We really do.
Well, this is what Marie's doing, and that's why she's so gracious enough to call us and spend some time with us and her fans. Follow her and pay attention, and she's doing some great work out there.
Well, I think everybody is doing the best they can, you know, with the knowledge that they have. So we just need to just spread the knowledge more. That's the key.
Well, that's what we're all about, man. I'm so glad to talk to you. It's been a while because I think Marie and I somehow it was one of the shows we didn't do a few weeks back. And anyway, I'm just thrilled to have you back.
It all worked out in the end. It's all good.
It does, and I can't wait to talk to you next time to find out what this little project you have brewing is. Very exciting.
Definitely. I will fill you in.
Okay. All right. Thanks so much for calling, Marie.
Oh, my pleasure. Have a great day, lady.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. You too.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
She's so much fun.
Yeah.
And have you seen a picture of her? She's absolutely stunning.
No, but we will. I'm going to have to
she
do
was
that.
On, she was Meg on, one of the CBS soaps, and I'm not a soap person, so it's not crossing my mind immediately. I'm a jerk.
Well, yeah, I have no idea because I never watch soaps.
As the World Turns, I think. She was Meg on As the World Turns, which they canceled. The whole darn thing.
Well,
they didn't kill her off. They canceled the whole darn show.
There's only two or three left because it's just not our lifestyle anymore. You know, it really isn't. It's just
it's not right.
We've moved on. Well, I never watched them, so.
You know, as a kid, when I was a teenager, I was really into the ABC ones. We got into, like,
I know.
High
you
school
got into
watching
General Hospital and Luke and Laura, right?
Yeah.
I know that. Yeah. I know it because I was in college, and every day at 3 o'clock, I'd come home from a class, I'd go through the, I'd look into the common room, and it was like standing room only. And I'm thinking, what?
I didn't get it.
I sound like a snob. I know. I'm sorry. But I didn't get it.
That's okay.
Okay.
We love you anyway.
You
I
stick
hope
to the more
so.
Cultural elite Megs,
well,
like
I was
the Family Guy.
I was never seen an episode
I'm
of that
start
either.
Coughing fit coming on.
All right. So let's just move into Green Dude Ed then and talk about.
No, let's take a quick break.
Oh, quick
so
break.
I can cough my brains
I'm
out.
I'm sorry.
And then when we come back, we'll be gone for like a minute and a half, people. So don't go anywhere. We've got too much fun coming on.
Welcome to Green Light with the original Green Diva, Megan McWilliams. Useful ideas for low-stress green living straight from the Fun Green Divas radio show.
Want to help your pets go green? Some fun and useful ideas coming up in a moment. I want Green Diva nails without all the nasty toxic chemicals.
I've got the solution. I just tried this G2 Organics non-toxic odor-free nail polish and remover. Did I mention odor-free? Look at my gorgeous toes. And you should see the colors. The colors are great. And the best part? Each one comes with its cool little touch-up tube.
And I guess since it doesn't smell, you can whip it out anywhere. The touch-up tube, I mean. Find out more at G2Organics.com. If you have a dog, cat, bird, horse, ferret, or other living creature from the animal kingdom that you share your life and home with, you'll want to learn about natural pet care products that are not only safer for your furry or feathered friend, but also easier on the environment too. Here are some websites and blogs that I recommend. For safe, natural, and earth-friendly toys and treats, westpawdesign.com. For an amazing array of eco-friendly pet products, ecopets.com. For news on a variety of natural pet ideas and products, care2.com. For great in-depth stories on all things pets, petnewsandviews.com.
To find out more about the Green Divas radio show and podcast, visit thegreendivas.com.
Hi, this is Fran Drescher, and remember, a cancer answer is cancer schmancer. And you're listening to the Green Divas.
Every Green Diva needs a sidekick. At the Green Divas radio show, they're called Green Dudes. Time now for a deeper shade of green from a guy's perspective.
All right, then. We'll go right into and our Green Dude segment with Eco Ed this week.
That sounds great. We'll pick up where we left off on solar, and we'll call this one Solar 201.
So much to know.
Anyway, yeah, what do you got for us?
And it was actually, I figured I'd start it off with a great little story, because one time we were with a good friend of ours, Ed Begley Jr.
Our buddy.
And we were talking about an unrelated subject, and somebody asked him, what is your thought on nuclear energy? And he shocked the audience by standing up and saying loud and proud, I am a big fan of nuclear power.
Everybody's like, oh! No, Ed, say it's not so.
And then he went on to explain that we've got a wonderful, tremendously powerful nuclear reactor about 93 million miles away from the Earth. And it provides us with light, with heat, with energy.
And it's free. It's free for the most part, right?
And it's relatively low cost.
Yeah.
So I say, let the sun shine in.
There you go.
It is a giant nuke ball, right?
In effect, absolutely. So what we're here today to talk about is that solar is not a silver bullet. Nor is there any single silver bullet to create an unlimited, low-cost, low-polluting, abundant energy source.
Right.
So what we want to do is take advantage of the opportunities, and whether they're solar, wind, water, geothermal, tidal, or many others out there that make up an increasingly large component of our sustainable energy future. If you are a good candidate for solar and you've done your part to conserve energy to make things more efficient, then absolutely you want to take advantage of solar energy. And depending upon where you are in the country, that'll dictate what your cost of electricity is, what the local rebates and incentives are. And I believe last time we mentioned a website called desireusa.org, which is D-S-I-R-E-USA.org, and that will show you what federal incentives and also state incentives and rebates are available to people to make to help them adopt solar energy.
Good. Yeah, we'll make sure we put that on the website.
Great. And where we left off last time, too, is speaking about the possible financing options for solar. And this is where it can get really confusing.
Yes.
Because although solar is a great environmental tool from a financial perspective, it is attractive. But what I want to do is help people to understand what makes the most sense for them.
Right. Okay.
And when it comes down to it, there's three basic financing options to owning a solar array or a solar hot water system. One is outright purchasing it. If you can afford to, if you have the money, the savings, or the capital available, that's usually the one I recommend because then you get the full financial benefit.
So how much are we talking?
All depends. If it's a simple solar hot water system, it could be a few thousand dollars. A solar array for a larger home can be $50,000. You know what? A solar array for a larger home or a huge building can be up in the millions.
Okay, so let's talk about a 3,000 square foot home. More or less.
With a good solar exposure, it might be a system that may cost in the $50,000 range before rebates and incentives.
Wow.
So that's still high. I mean,
still high, but when you figure in federal tax credits for 30% of that right off of your first tax return, and then some state rebates and incentives, in a lot of states there's a tremendous positive return. Like California is the leader in the country. New Jersey is number two.
That's a surprise.
Yeah, states like Hawaii, Colorado are also up there because the incentives make it so good. If you're a good candidate, it almost doesn't make sense not to do it.
Right.
And then you have leasing options, or one of the things that's been very successful is what's called a power purchase agreement, a PPA. And that's something where another company actually owns the array on your roof, but they're selling the energy back to you at a reduced cost.
Interesting.
So in effect, they're leasing your roof space, and you're getting the benefit of being environmentally sound and lowering your energy costs and guaranteeing that cost in a certain rate moving forward.
Really?
Okay, so that's a cost savings as well, obviously.
Yeah, with no outlay.
And they maintain the panels or whatever
they'll
the
maintain
system
it, they'll take care of it. Breaks or something, they'll take full responsibility for it. And then there's a whole host of leasing options, which is the third part.
Just came out funny.
A whole host of leasing options.
I'm sorry, I'd rather have a Twinkie. Sorry, go ahead. I couldn't help myself either.
That's a Christmas special. And leasing options, those tend to be the most confusing. I've seen some of them out there that are very attractive. I'm working on one right now where SunPower has a very attractive lease program because they want to own a lot of the systems. So they're making it very attractive to owners to step in.
Yeah, I know someone that just got a SunPower system and they're thrilled.
Oh, they're wonderful. My panels are SunPower.
So you leased from SunPower?
No, I actually purchased mine.
Oh, you purchased yours.
Yep. And right now, and this one is in California, and they have a specific, very attractive leasing option. But some of the leases out there, quite honestly, are not a good option. I've read some, I won't name specific companies, but when it comes down to it, as we mentioned last time, the benefit to the homeowner is only maybe less than $10 a month.
Right. Get a CFL light bulb and you're better off, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, right.
Replace some lights with LEDs or CFLs and you're good to go.
Yeah, it's a lot to go through for $10 a month, man.
Yeah, so it's sometimes it's good, and unfortunately, you really have to understand the finances of it. But as a brief overview, those are the three options, and it should have a very positive financial impact in addition to being the environmentally sound thing to do and using renewable energy and reducing your dependence on fossil fuels.
I like it.
I do too, obviously. I have a great house and I'm a great candidate, Ed. I'm going to have will you come out and do my see if I can get solar?
Sure.
Really? Good, because I really think that would be the best thing.
You know, like the next thing to do for the next time, you know, you come in, right, in the next couple of weeks, if you have the ability to go out and look and just do an assessment.
Sure.
You know, because you have a fairly average, I mean, it's a beautiful house, but you know what I mean.
It's a fairly average house
for this area.
Yeah.
And then we can actually do the details of what it would take.
We'll take pictures and everything.
Would you be willing to do that?
Sure. And actually, remind me next time, because as I walked in, when was your house built?
This one was built in 1900.
In 1900. So
we've got great exposure up there, man.
Yep. So a thought that I had was actually to bring my infrared camera here and take a look inside the walls and have some some fun with that.
Oh, my. Yay! To see, like for insulation and stuff like that?
Yep,
like,
insulation.
If there is insulation. Yeah. Anywhere, maybe? Anywhere?
No, you know
insulation?
What? My first house was 1907.
Dead squirrels? I don't know.
Well, you never know. But I had a 1907, my first house.
Oh, yeah.
No insulation.
Yeah, no.
None.
No. It's unlikely. Usually these old stuccos, they blow it in later.
Yes, mm-hmm. which is what had to be done for ours.
All right.
Well, so here's a last tip on solar, okay. And this is when people are building new. One thing that I constantly tell architects, and I do a lot of sessions for the AIA, is it's very easy when building a new house to design it with solar, with sun exposures.
Yeah, sure. Right.
And it's very simple if you design it up front, because even if the current homeowner doesn't take advantage of it, at least in the future, you have the option to do that.
What's a marketable upgrade or whatever?
Yeah.
I mean, it's
and
smart.
Orienting a southern roof as opposed to putting a gable up there or facing it east-west is very simple to do, especially early on in the process.
Yeah, good call.
Thank you, Ed. He's staying in the studio with us for more fun.
And looking forward to hearing from Marielle Hemingway.
All right, stay tuned.
Want more information on this Green Dude segment and other ideas for low-stress green living? Go to thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com. Reduce, recycle, reuse, and if you're feeling creative, repurpose. Repurposing is one of Green Diva Mizar's favorite DIY things to do, and it's fun.
All right, then. Rolled right into that one. Like it.
Yeah, it was
like
good. It was good. All right, so here's what I did this week. My two nieces from Massachusetts were down. They're 13 years old, and they're into everything.
Do you have a cute name for them?
I do. I call them the Wee Willie Winkies because they were just 4 pounds each when they were born.
Little wee ones.
So they were like little footballs, you know, really cute.
Yeah.
So I call them the Wee Willie Winkies.
And I had a couple of them myself.
Did you? There you go. And then so they're Isabella and actually Olivia and Isabella. So it's Livy Lou and Bella Boo, and they're like into everything, like cool and mod and like hip, and they're like fashionistas. Hello.
All right. So if it's cool, if they're into it, it's probably pretty cool.
I think so.
Okay.
They're a very good barometer in that respect.
Barometer.
Do they tell you you're chill?
Are you chill?
God, I hope so. Anyway, so we were shopping. They're in Massachusetts, and they come down occasionally. And we were shopping, and Isabella saw this really cheesy necklace with these cheesy plastic keys.
Yeah.
And I said, stop.
Yeah.
In the name of green.
In the name of everything important to me.
Right. I'm not going to let you buy them because I can make these for you. I can make them better, stronger.
Yeah.
Yes, without going into the $6 million.
Yeah, I was just going to say, that's funny.
We can rebuild them.
And I did. Now, as it also happens, my dad, who could never throw away anything, and keys was one of his things. I mean, he would put them.
I actually have a drawer of keys downstairs.
Do you?
Yes.
Oh, I'll take them because you know I'll do something with them.
I know.
He would label them in, like, no good, do not use, or Mizar's old
car keys.
Yeah,
but they're still there, yeah.
But they're still there. Right. So he couldn't throw them out. So we were cleaning out his office, and I have all these keys. And, of course, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, Megan.
Yeah.
I have a jar full of keys.
Of course.
And the skeleton keys are the coolest ones.
Oh, they are cool,
You know? So I pulled out the keys. I had them choose three each. Then I pulled out all of my, this is one of my favorite Yiddish words, all of my tchotchkes.
Yes, the tchotchkes.
The tchotchkes. Old costume jewelry, old charms, old bits and pieces from old projects.
Yeah,
I mean, you name it. I mean, when you go to thegreendivas.com and take a look, you'll see it's just, and that's just a quarter of what I have.
It's a great post.
Oh, well, thank you.
It is a great post.
Well, thank you. So, anyway, moving ahead.
Moving on.
They assembled their elements, and then I put them together on each key.
So you let them, that was kind of fun. You customized it by letting them pick out what they wanted, like the color, gem,
whatever. Yeah, of course, they glommed a whole lot of stuff on there, and I had to temper their enthusiasm by just kind of making it a little bit more artistic. Not that they're not artistic, but just neatening it up a little bit and whatever. I mean, because it was like you couldn't even see the key, and the key is to see the key. Get it? Key to see the key. All right.
No, I wasn't paying attention.
I know,
I'm sorry.
You weren't. That's why I kind of like.
Well, I'm trying to pay attention to see if anybody is,
know. My ho-ho couldn't sneak by either one of you. But
I know.
That's because you said it, Ed.
sorry.
At any rate, so now I have, for each of them, and I mailed them the other day, three of these sort of fashion funky keys that they can wear around their neck. But of course, I didn't stop there, Megan. Keys are so multi-purpose. Let's take the wind chimes. You can make wind chimes out of them, and they will tinkle, tinkle, tinkle so beautifully.
Tinkle, 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 tinkle.
Well, you know, that's such a soothing sound in the summertime.
Really, I love it.
I do, too.
All year round.
I do, too.
All year round,
it's just
I love it.
So you're at the end of the day, and the breeze is coming up, and it's I love it.
I'm
so
posting this right now.
Couple of ideas for wind chimes. But, of course, there's still one that I found that I really loved as well was the hanging key thing for keys.
Yeah, right.
This one's a little bit more work intensive, though, because you have to be able to bend the key. Put them on a board, nail them on. I used furniture tacks because it looks much nicer. And then the fat part is up against the piece of wood. And, of course, it has to be a piece of old driftwood or some repurposed piece of barn siding or whatever.
That you just happen to have in your
1900 house.
Well, Mizar happens to have.
I happen to have too much.
Me, I just have to go downstairs and pull a piece of molding off the side of the deck.
Exactly. Oh, so, or even just a whatever you can find is really what it comes down to. And you just make these funky
creative,
little hooks.
Man.
Yeah, don't let anything stop you.
All right.
So, I guess that I don't remember if I put anything else on there, but if you go to the
There's a lot of great things.
Yeah,
I just posted it on our Facebook page.
Yay.
So go find it on the Facebook page. Find it on thegreendivas.com and stay tuned.
For step-by-step instructions on this DIY project and to find out more about the Green Divas radio show and podcasts, visit thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com.
All right. So we're actually a little early for Mariel Hemingway. Can I talk about the salamanders?
Yeah, talk about the salamanders, man.
See, Ed knew what I was talking
about. Talk
about
the salamanders.
I have been because it's
Sally
such a beautiful, natural, wonderful sort of rite of spring in a little town here.
Right here.
In New Jersey, in East Brunswick.
Who knew there was anything natural still happening in here?
Oh,
but
there's
there
lots. So
I
if
know.
You go to Wildcat Ridge up in Sussex, so many things that we can talk about, but... You see, if I could live in a cabin in the woods and run around barefoot, I'd be very happy. I mean, don't get me wrong. The Plaza Hotel is nice, too. I mean, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, I know. It's one or the other.
I have a friend of mine who calls me the Albanian gypsy because I can do all this gypsy stuff. I can, you know, if I had to survive in the wild, I could.
You're kind of like a salamander. You adapt.
I adapt.
Right?
Yeah.
See?
I'm not sure I'd grow a new tail, but I
Sally the salamander.
Yeah.
I found a salamander. It all dried up in a little curly queue in our basement.
It is sad.
I named her Sally.
She was dead.
She was dead.
Okay. I guess if you can call a chimpanzee found somewhere like a missing link, call her Lucy, you can call your salamander Sally. Yeah, you know, I have them where I live.
Yeah, we got them.
They're everywhere. I love them.
I know.
I love them. Well, this particular species of salamander, was it the spotted salamander, Ed?
The spotted
called?
Salamander down, yeah, you expect to hear about this in, like, the Galapagos or something.
Yeah, right.
Right. But here you are in East Brunswick, New Jersey, in the middle of Middlesex County, and they actually have it posted. There's this little road that connects two major roads, and it says, Salamander Migration,
road closed.
How beautiful is that?
I know, I like that.
So apparently they hibernate on one side of the road, and then when they get a little frisky in springtime and it gets a little warmer, they figure,
mating time!
I better go take care of what nature is calling for. So they cross a little road in the same place they cross every year.
Yeah.
They
are creatures of habit, I guess.
Well, I guess so, but how would you know that? They must have the brain the size of a pinhead, for God's sake.
I know, but you know what? Sally's cute.
Well,
they got to make their way across the road.
It's amazing what males from any species will do.
Now, you see, I was gonna be a little more scientific and just say the power of Mother Nature, but okay.
Yeah.
I guess yours is scientific too, Ed.
Oh, my gosh. We have too much fun in here, you guys.
So they cross over to where the water is, the lake or the river. I can't remember what it was, a stream, whatever it is, a water source, and they do their thing. And I guess they lay their eggs and whatever it is and let nature take its course. But they were talking to a ranger or whatever on the news that I saw, and he said, you know, it was like carnage when they didn't stop. Because a couple of years ago, they would just by the hundreds be killed at night.
Oh, yeah.
So it's only closed at night because apparently they make their little walk.
I remember down in Florida, all these crabs would make this migration over A1A right by the ocean.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and it was just horrifying because the cars never stopped, you know. It's crunch, 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 and it's horrifying.
Dinner.
I think it's so cool that we make dinner. I just snorted. That's good. I'll be coughing, snorting, laughing. But I love that now, you know, and because we have, if we talk to Kevin Poe, who was the light ranger or something. But anyway, he's all about light pollution.
Yes.
And you know, light pollution has had such a severe effect on certain species, including the sea turtles.
Yes.
Sea turtles,
because
they go towards
they see that they are ruled by the moonlight.
Yes.
But because there's so much artificial light near some of these shorelines, they get confused.
They go backwards.
They don't know where to go.
Yeah.
Instead of going back into the ocean, they head towards the land.
Right. There's actually some folks that have gotten together because they, too, go to the same spots, apparently.
Yes, they do.
And the people go, they turn out their lights, and they go out on the beach, and they help these little guys. I think that's so awesome.
No, it's great. In North Carolina, we used to vacation on the Outer Banks every year for 8 or 9 years, and we would go toward the end of summer when the turtlings, what do you call them?
Turtles. I don't know what they are.
Baby turtles. They would hatch.
Babies.
And they would actually, the park rangers along the south beaches of North Carolina there, they would be blocked off and you really couldn't be on them because they knew it was a nest. So if you were to see a nest, if you were lucky enough to see it, you could not go out with a flashlight. It had to be a red light.
Oh, yeah, because that would not interfere with their...
But do you know what? What's really so sad for me? I just couldn't stand it when she told me this. This one ranger, she said, yes, they were being very successful, and they also put like that black, not burlap, you know, that road stuff that when they're building to keep the mud from going into the road, whatever.
Silt fence.
It's like yes, exactly. So that they go in the right direction. All right, and they do. But she said, you know, there are hundreds, and when they get into the ocean, they're called the potato chips of the sea. It's so sad.
Potato chips.
Because
of the
sea.
That's
one in a hundred will survive.
And you know what the difficult thing about that is? Natural selection has shaped species over the millennia. And now you have a situation where man has devastated certain species down to near extinction.
Yes. Yeah.
So now we're trying to help the numbers regenerate. And it's taking natural selection out of the process. We're just trying to regenerate as many as we can.
Yeah, it's a mess, actually, because we're intervening, trying to backtrack. And I think it's a well-meaning thought. You know,
yes,
it's well-intentioned. But I think we're creating a kind of a big mess.
Well, you know what? Maybe we take it to a certain point and then we just let it go again.
Right,
you know, and not and obviously letting nature take its course.
I saw a post today that talked about, you know, I wish I could, you know, that foxes, they were near extinct. And then, of course, then we had this way overpopulation of deer.
Well,
and,
yes.
And mountain lions were dying because the deer, you know, it's just, it's crazy, crazy, crazy. All of the ramifications. And bears, of course, now we have a bear problem here.
I don't think it's a problem. I think we're creating the problem.
Well, we did create the problem by encroaching on their space.
Right.
You know, really. I mean, they were here first, weren't they?
And everything is so interrelated. When you start getting into clean water or the environment, you start realizing everything is so interrelated. In Hawaii, we're doing some projects right now, and it starts with the rainwater and the coral reefs that are the spawning grounds for the bigger fish in the ocean, all the way up to sharks and whales and the people that eat the fish. And it's amazing how everything is so intertwined.
It really is. Sustainable fish.
I know, but you know, we've gotten so selfish. I have always said, you know, it's just we just take advantage willy-nilly, and now we are certainly paying for it. Certainly paying for it. So at any rate, hold on 1 second.
Yeah.
All right.
So anyway, hopefully Marianne will call in a minute. She may... Okay.
We were this great little turtle conservation place down in Mexico, me and Mrs. Eco, at a few years ago.
Really?
And where they actually take the eggs that the turtles come up on shore and lay and keep them safe and allow them to hatch and raise them until they're large enough and safe enough to go back into the water. And this actually is increasing the numbers dramatically.
Oh, that's good. So they don't become potato chips of the sea,
yes.
Obviously. Because, you know, they're so cute when they're born, Ed.
Oh, they're so adorable.
I mean, they come out of their little nest and they go blip, 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 blip. They just kind of scoot out to the sea. And it's amazing how they know to follow the moon to go into the ocean. It's really pretty amazing. And the south shores of North Carolina are fairly remote. That's why we go there. We don't go up to Duck and Corolla over there because it's just a lot of people, a lot of tourists. But if you go down towards the, what do they call it, Cape Hatteras south shores, very, very remote, and that's why we kind of like it. But they are just too cute, really, just a...
Baby turtles have to be one of the most adorable things on this planet.
Yeah, they are.
And turtles, like other species, they're hardwired to go back to their spawning grounds.
Yes.
So there are specific places, whether it's in the Outer Banks or down in Texas or in Mexico, where a large percentage of the world's turtles all come back to the same beaches. So they go and swim and travel throughout the world's oceans and then come back to the same spawning grounds.
It's like salmon.
Okay,
how do they know?
Okay, so I'm like just like such a Disney sucker from time to time, but you know, Finding Nemo.
Yeah,
remember the little
yeah.
movie? I love the turtle scene. Remember the turtles? They go with the
yes.
whole Gulf Stream or whatever
yes.
it is. They're so cute.
I thought,
like, dude.
You know what? Well, like, but you know what? You took the words right out of my mouth. I kind of thought he was stoned.
Yeah. Wasn't it Keanu Reeves?
Wasn't it
Keanu Reeves? Dude.
I was like, oh, man. Okay, yeah.
They're just going with the flow.
I kept thinking this is a
children's
movie.
By the way, not to get off subject, but
subject are we on?
When did Sean Penn go from Fast Times at Ridgemont High to becoming a serious actor?
Oh, you are totally off subject. But it's so sick. You heard of the what do they call? What did he used to sing in there? Rad dude.
Dude, that was my skull.
Oh man! But you know what else too? Speaking of endangered species and endangered environments, my thing is I can barely even read about it because I get very upset with the polar bears and what's happening up in the Arctic, because that to me is just a tragedy. Because I think baby polar bears are kind of cute too.
Well, people, you know, people think it's so far removed from polar bears, since obviously the two can't live side by side.
Correct.
So they don't really take it seriously. But it's amazing when the Arctic ice melts, mm-hmm. how that destroys their habitat.
Yes.
And now they can't hunt, so they end up swimming for many more months, which means they can't mate, they can't feed their little ones, and the mortality rates. And reproductive rates are dropping dramatically.
Tremendously, because you know they can swim 100 miles at a go. I mean, they can do 100 miles, mm-hmm. but more than that, they can't. The polar bear is a fascinating animal. I mean, he just evolved to survive. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you talk, we should do a whole show on polar bears, Megan, because it just. I think the awareness, while it's out there,
and they become sort of like the icon for. The diminishing environment, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's good, but it's heartbreaking.
What is, and they're so darn cute, even if they are lethal.
And one of my personal passions is also for another lethal species, for sharks.
Yeah,
love sharks, and
they do get a bad rap, don't they? I mean, I don't really want to swim with sharks, but they do get a bad rap.
And their populations have dropped so dramatically, and even to this day, they're hunted for silly things like their fins.
And that's right. Not cool.
Yeah.
But there was a guy killed, a producer, actually.
New Zealand, just a couple
yeah.
days ago.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a bummer.
Well, it's
a bummer.
You're swimming at their buffet.
Yeah, see, I would not. Yeah.
No, you are the buffet.
And down there, they really have some serious great white sharks. So, like, I would never be swimming there.
who of you grew up watching Jacques Cousteau?
Yeah,
I loved him.
Of course we did.
Love Jacques
Cousteau. It's pretty darn amazing because I think that's something that's missing from our the next generation. That they didn't watch shows like Jacques Cousteau or Mutual of Omaha's
Wild Kingdom.
Which was followed by The Wonderful World of Disney.
Yeah. It was Sunday night,
Sunday night. Exactly right.
We are crazy.
Well, you know what, though? But don't you think about it. We had those influences, and my kids did because I was, you know, I'm a freaky mom, I guess. My kids know... and respect and watched all these National Geographic videotapes.
Yeah,
can I tell you a funny story about my son?
Which, by the way, Julia probably was responsible for producing a whole bunch of those.
Here's a funny...
Oh, she's on?
Oh, I can't tell you my funny story.
Sorry.
Tell you next time.
Right. You're like, hello. Let me have my coughing fit before I pick up the phone.
Okay. We're just waiting
I'll
for Mariel Hemingway.
Oh, I just drew on myself. I'm so... silly. Marielle. Hello.
Hello?
How are you?
Oh, hi. Sorry. I didn't know.
Oh, Mercury is so retrograde.
Good. How are you?
We're having fun. We're having a lot of fun. I'm so glad you could give us a call today.
Yeah, thank God.
Well, you are such a busy girl.
Very busy, but what? I'm thrilled to be doing this.
Yeah, well, you really are like a Green Diva hero. You know what I mean? Like the Green Diva's Green Diva, right?
Well, yeah, the Queen of Green Divas with a capital D.
If you don't mind being called such.
Yeah.
I don't mind.
But it's all a good thing. You've got lots on your plate right now, Mariel. I don't know. We met a couple of years ago. This is Mizar. I had given you a couple of glass bottles in New York City. I don't know if you recall. But we've come full circle.
Nevertheless. That's awesome. I kind of do.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Whatever the case is, I just remember.
That was that Eco Lux event in New York, right?
It was the one on the pier.
Oh.
And poor Mariel, she was being pulled hither and thither. But of course, Mariel.
Because she was, you know.
She's Mariel. So.
Yeah.
All right. So, Mariel, tell us about, I guess, let's talk about GMOs because of that failure in California with Prop 37.
And you have, you're still working on a film, right, with Ed?
We were unable to do the film because, you know, we were trying to raise money on, So we didn't pull it off, which was a drag. It's also, you know, it's a bit scary and disconcerting because Monsanto being the company that it is,
yes.
And so strong and so powerful and so, you know, profitable and big, it was a little scary to to go after them.
Yeah, I imagine.
You know,
it would be.
You'd get a lot of like, you don't know the real story, and this is this, and this is that, and you know, and I'm sure that they're doing great, good things somewhere.
Yeah, right.
In the company.
Right.
Well, but that some of the darker things, I don't even think some of the people that work know about.
Yeah, well,
you know,
the question would have been, Mariel, to say, okay, so if you don't know the whole story, tell me.
Right.
Well,
you know?
And I did.
Yeah.
I said that, and they're like, oh, well, you know, come to the plant and see it, you know, but there's no answers to, you know, why, you know, other countries won't take their seeds and why in a country like India where they sold them seed or they gave them seeds and then the next year they were meant to buy them, that all the Indians committed suicide out of shame because they didn't have a crop and they lost their heirloom seeds. I mean, there's just things to be answered for, and not to mention the fact that we're just creating a world where our food is becoming toxic, and food that you think is normal and healthy for you is now food without information.
Right, right.
You know?
It's like Frankenfood. It's very
scary.
Yeah.
Wasn't there a movie a while back about that? I think it was called The International or something like that.
No. I don't know.
Where it was a plot where people were being killed, and it was supposedly the banks, and then when it came down to it, there was an assassination attempt. It was made to appear like it was the prince, but it actually was funded by the agricultural companies.
Well,
they named Monsanto, because he had developed
thinly veiled, in other words, kind of.
The professor had developed a seed that could regenerate, and it would.
Well, you know, I think some of it is in the spirit, at least it started off in the spirit of feeding the world, which is the argument they use for some of this crazy crap. Excuse my language, but, you know. And how do you argue that? Like, I don't know exactly how to argue that when someone, scientist.
You know, it's interesting. Bobby, my partner, and I, we have a company called The Willing Way, and his last name is Williams.
I love
that. We figured that out, by the way, Mariel. We did figure that out.
Yes, I know.
Somebody
tweeted me today, that's hokey.
Oh.
No, it works. I like it.
Well, we like hokey, so whatever. Yeah.
But anyway, we talked to a big dairy farm, and they were like, you know, if we can feed millions of people with, you know, and Bobby and I's point was, look, if you can feed starving people in Africa, send them, you know, sweetened condensed milk, send them whatever, send them powdered anything, we understand that. But to develop crops that are unnecessary, and the truth is, we could feed the entire country on less land than we have in neighbor California.
Yeah.
So the lie is that we need to do this.
Right.
The truth is, it's about money.
Yeah, yeah.
And that is so sad about all things to do with health and wellness, because ultimately it comes down to big business going, dude, we can get rid of this. This makes us billions of dollars
right.
a year.
They're...
And now we're so invested that it would take years for
yeah.
those investments to be paid back, so we can't afford, you know, so it comes down to money in the end, you know, like we all know. But I think as community leaders, as people, as human beings, we need to just say, I'm not going to eat this way. I'm not going to do it.
Yes.
I refuse
yeah.
to buy it. And the fact that we're not allowed labeling, it's frightening. But the good news about that is that it made people more aware.
Yes,
so when
it did.
Somebody does take the time to put a, you know, no GMO on their product, you're like, yay, you know, these people are like care. And it makes a person have to be more responsible about their choices in the marketplace, you know?
Yeah,
well,
I definitely...
We're voting with our dollars. We're voting by how we eat.
I definitely am one of those people that if I have a choice between, you know, a couple of different products and one says non-GMO and I'm aware of it, that's the one I'm going to pick up. And I'm really not... I mean, I'm not wealthy, but I will pay an extra whatever...
It's a couple of bucks.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's a couple of bucks. It's not going to break the bank, really.
It's where we make our statement, you know?
And we all do need to thank you, Marielle, because you take a lot of your time and effort to help educate people and teach them about these GMOs and what they're eating. And quite honestly, a lot of us don't know. We haven't had the proper information. And I know it's profitable for folks like Monsanto, but it's not profitable for people like you. So we all thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
It's a good
well,
thing.
Well, she is one of those people in L.A. who, you know, one of these beautiful actresses who has a fabulous platform and is using it for good. So let's talk for a minute about The Willing Way, because you have a book coming out. There's a beautiful website. Tell us about that.
Well, we're super excited, and in fact, yesterday we sent in the final picture, the insert pictures.
Oh.
We signed off on the interior of the book. It's launching way too early for me to be saying that, but
that's
how we work over here.
Yeah, it's good
to be last minute, but it's so exciting because when we look at each page and we look at what we've written and the pictures and our lifestyle, we're so proud of the fact that we're sharing how we live so that we can inspire others to find that way of living that works for them. Because it's not about, oh, this book will come out and you're going to live the way we live and do what we do. It's about, let's find, everybody has a different blueprint into
yep.
their own health and wellness. Let us help you find, with tools that we know about, the way that works for you. Because it's not one size fits all in how you eat, how you exercise, and how you move. It none of it is you know, by the book. And sadly, we live in a society that's all about, you know, the latest diet, and you have to do this, and you have to do that, and this fad and that fad. And truthfully, our book is about connecting in nature, simplifying your life, seeing what is true, what is kind of age-old wisdom about the earth, about food and where it should come from, and that it should be local and seasonal as much as possible, and organic nowadays, because that seems to be very, very important. But just knowing basic tools to say, okay, this will make me feel better, then I get to find what's my adventure, what
yeah.
exercise works for me, how do I like to eat? Maybe I am more vegetarian oriented, whereas, you know, my partner Bobby has to eat meat. It's just, where does it come from? Am
right.
I eating ethically?
Marielle, I'm sorry. I just want to interrupt really quickly because I know we're running out of time. Listen, if you're doing a book tour and you're coming out, I'd like to invite you to join us in the studio.
Oh, yeah, when you come
for
out
an
east,
entire
yeah.
hour. We'll dedicate the entire hour to you and Bobby. And,
we would love that. Where are you?
We're a stone's throw from New York City.
Okay, we're coming to New York. We're going to be there. We're working that out right now. Actually, we're just working on a book signing in New York City. I will get back to you with those dates because it would be amazing
to
really spend the time to talk about it.
Just again, and again, we'll dedicate the whole hour and we will just continue to talk about, because what you're saying, you know, it's funny. I'm just going to say this because I know, and people are going to think I'm a wacko. I think that if I had lived a prior life, I was sort of like a Lenny Lenape Indian, because I just have such reverence for the land and I find myself so at peace.
Right, so that resonates
in the woods.
With you.
It just
yeah.
so resonates with me. I can't. I get emotional thinking about it. So I can't wait to talk more about
this. Well, I personally am thrilled to hear more about you know the specific how do I put it? You know the concept you're dealing with, because I looked at the beautiful video of you and Bobby and I thought, oh, I wish I could do yoga like that. I can't climb a rock like that. But we will, Megan. I will say it's very inspiring because
absolutely.
I know Marielle and I are probably about the same age, and it's pretty sad that I can't do half of what she does. But it is inspiring, and I love that what you're saying is that I can find my
way.
Your
way, exactly.
My way.
Right.
And that is brilliant, and that's what we all need.
That's
I don't like these like self-help books that say, you got to do it this
right.
way, and then you'll find nirvana. You know?
Marielle, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's like finding your place in the universe and living harmoniously with it.
Absolutely, and everybody has a different way of the way that looks. You know, our adventure is different than yours, but, and in sort of after you saying that I can't do this or I can't do that, I couldn't do that when I first met Bobby, by the way. I couldn't do some of those things. But I also, you know, that is my passion. That's where I get so much joy. But somebody else's adventure may be salsa dancing or,
right,
you know,
right.
or walking in their neighborhood, but it gives them so much joy. It's not about how you do it and what you look like. You're not trying to go to the Olympics. You're just moving in your bliss.
Yeah.
And there's something to be said for doing things that move you. And it cannot make sense to anybody else. Who cares?
Listen to how passionate she is. I can so hear that this is really, really your path right here. I'm so excited for you.
I am too.
Aww.
But more than that,
I mean, not
I'm
that
getting,
like she wasn't on her trail doing
no,
her
no,
acting.
No, but you know what? Not only that, but I am so emotional listening to you, Marielle, because I would.
She is. She's getting weepy over here.
I am, because I had a dog, and I would go every day with this dog who walked off leash, and I would just find paths in the woods near my house. And I would have my chats with the Almighty, because that's how I put it. And we would sit, and I would sit on a log and reflect or whatever, and the dog would stay by me and with me, and when I was ready to go. I mean, we just did our thing. It was just so amazing to me. And again, truly resonating with me. And I am getting emotional, so I'll stop talking.
And there is a beautiful picture of Marielle. Is that your dog, the black and white dog?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm like... I have a new dog guide right next to me that we adopted a couple of weeks ago. And I'm like a new mother. Like, I cannot stop talking about her. I take pictures of her all day long. Marielle, can you do me a huge favor? Would you be so kind as to give us a Green Divas ID shout-out while we're on the air? And then if you would allow me to use that?
Oh, absolutely.
You say something fun that... You know, whatever you feel comfortable
like
with.
Like a little promo thing.
Yeah,
this is Marielle Hemingway. Da-da-da-da-da-da. You're listening to, and
yeah,
that would be great, Marielle.
The Green Divas radio show. If you're up for it, whatever you feel like.
Absolutely. I'm happy to do that.
That's so sweet.
Okay. Tell me when.
Now is fine.
Okay. Hi, my name is Marielle Hemingway, and you're listening to Green Divas radio show. Tune in. Listen, you're going to get great information, you're going to have a good time, and you're going to learn something.
You're perfect. I love it. Thank you so much for calling. Let's correspond and see
yes,
if we can
absolutely.
Get you in here.
I will let you know through Heather when we're coming to New York, and Bobby and I would love to come to the studio. It would be just amazing.
It would be great. Thank you so
much. We will have
so
a really
much.
Good time, and good luck with everything, and we'll be keeping our eyes out, and congratulations.
Great speaking with you, Marielle.
Thanks a lot.
Great talking to
Take
you.
Take care.
Nice talking to you all.
Bye.
Good. Bye-bye.
Oh, my God. She is just as sweet as she seems.
Yeah,
all
down
right.
to earth. But you know what? You wouldn't expect anything less.
I know you wouldn't.
Right?
The real thing, man. Okay. Well, we got to sign off, everybody. It's been a fabulous... Next week we have...
Oh, my gosh, my friend,
yep,
Patrick
McDonald,
who writes, who does the Mutz comic strip. He's syndicated everywhere, but he's so into animal rescue and eco-friendly clothing and stuff like that. He is great.
Well, we're going to talk about animal rescue now. Maybe we'll do just a real animal show next week.
Okay.
I can really get into that. Gracie
yeah.
can get into that.
Well, like...
Gracie May. Have a great green week, folks.
You've been listening to the Green Divas radio show. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, follow them on Facebook and Twitter, and don't forget to visit the blog at thegreendivas.com. That's THEGreenDivas.com. and remember to share the good green news with friends and family.